Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
For so long, but now you say we're through. The love we shared is just a memory. I have built a ship of dreams and planned them all for you. But I gotta guess what it is to be my dear will be. I'll sail my ship alone with all the dreams I own. Out across the ocean blue, I'll sail my ship alone with all the dreams I own. And when it starts to sink, and I'll blame you. To the wind to take back home you. Oh, you would hear my SOS. Maybe you would come back home, my darling, if you knew how much my aching heart is in distress. Yeah, I sail my ship alone with all the dreams I own. A bit out across the ocean blue, I sail my ship alone with all the dreams I own. And when it starts sinking, I'll blame you.
The all-new Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. Well, good evening, listener. Hope you're having a good evening. It's the new Panic Room episode 38. My giddy aunt, can you believe that? We missed everyone last week. Hopefully you missed us as well. But we're back living it large, live and kicking on another Thursday night, 9:30. Wow. Yeah, Thursday. And it was like, only seems like it was only yesterday. It was Monday. Although it wasn't, because obviously it was Wednesday, because unless sort of there's been a disruption in the space-time continuum, I guess, but probably not, because this isn't Doctor Who. So, yeah, welcome one of all, one and all. We got a show and a half. Well, there's one show, I suppose, but we've got a show and a half. We've got Michelle Garza and Andy Pellaquin, two awesome authors. A couple of favourites of mine, I have to say. Although we're not allowed to play favourites. And, and we have Becky, who's going to be reviewing something. God only knows what. She digs up some... also strange noise in the house. Digs up some awesome books to review for us. But you're going to have to wait for that, because I think first and foremost, and it wouldn't be a show without her, we've got... Well, hello.
You have
your own jingle. I don't have a jingle. I want a jingle. I have to make myself a jingle. Because no bugger else is going to make me one.
I definitely like mine, and I'm doing well with the wine tonight. I put it in the freezer for a little bit, and it gets like ice chunks, and it tastes so good.
Oh, now then, yeah.
I love it. It's so good. I missed you so much last week. I did. I really did.
I missed you too.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same Thursday night. I was just sort of mooching.
In fact,
I'll tell you what I did. I started, I've been meaning to watch it, but I started watching Westworld, the HBO season series.
I don't even know what that is.
And it's good. I'm on, I think, episode 5 next. So, and it's I'm a big fan of the film, the original film, with Yul Brynner and whatnot. And obviously, it sort of expands the story. Just things are sort of going wrong slowly. And it's incredible. I mean, it's really got Anthony Hopkins in it. It's got Ed Harris in it. It's got a cracking cast. Yeah. Thandie Newton, and I'm a big fan of Thandie Newton's. I wholeheartedly recommend it, people. It's good. So far, so good. So if you keep the momentum going.
I've been excited because, you know, baseball season started, I think, Monday. Monday or Sunday or Monday.
I don't care.
I know, but I'm excited. My team actually won their first. My team won a game today, which this is the third game they played, and they won today for the first time. So I was, really excited about that. And, they won like 5-2. So I was like, yay! I was all excited. And so.
Sorry, you're boring me. Sorry, I'm bored. I've started fiddling on my phone. I am so fucking bored. Can we just talk about something
more
interesting?
I'm going to start calling you every time I watch a game now. I'm going to start calling you, and giving you a play-by-play and everything. It'll be exciting.
I'll give you a little tip. Don't.
Don't. I think I would be really good doing like a baseball commentary. I mean, I'm not really great at all the terms yet. Something really awesome. Yeah.
You really don't take hints, do you? I am genuinely bored. It's funny enough, I've never been sporty, so I think my dad was always disappointed in me because I was never sporty. Always had my head in a book, and I was quite, I suppose nerdy in a way. But and even now, I mean, it's funny enough. My son plays soccer at sort of the local level, and I love. Yeah, I love going to a game. I've been to soccer games. I've been to baseball games for enough. I've been to, you name it, cricket. I've sat through cricket, and if you can sit through cricket, you can sit through anything. I love watching. I actually look forward to his games, watching him play, because just the thrill of a live game. But watching on TV just bores me. And listening to people drone on about it, like you just did, really, really bores me. Tears.
I didn't even go on and on. I mean, I could.
In fact,
I could tell
you
about this awesome play at the top of the seventh.
Okay, I'm gonna let you can drone on about baseball for a bit, and then later in the show, I'll get my stamp collection out and we'll go through that. And I do actually have a stamp collection,
like,
and it is, in fact, funnily enough, I stopped collecting it when I went to university and couldn't afford to keep it up, but it's my collection of Great British commemorative stamps from 1840 onwards is terrific. I actually have
I need my nap now.
I actually have a penny black, which is historically the world's first self-adhesive postage stamp, which was invented by Sir Rowland Hill in 1840. And I actually have one of those on an envelope.
Wow.
In a little, you see, more interesting than baseball, isn't it? In a little frame on my living room wall.
I think we should take a poll and people should call in and tell us who is more interesting, stamp collection or baseball.
I'll tell you what, yeah, they can call in, and what we can do, add to 11 questions, or swap one of the questions out in 11 questions, baseball or stamp collecting, and let's see where we get over the next few weeks.
I like that.
Can you do that? Baseball or stamp collecting? Quick fire question, see what people say. Do that. Who's doing 11 questions this evening?
That would be Michelle. That would be Michelle.
Right.
We have a listener, James, has just told me that stamp collecting is not interesting radio. So there we have our first opinion.
Well, to be fair, neither is you whining on about droning on about baseball.
I don't know about
grown men hitting balls with bats. I mean, I'm running around a bit.
Think anything I drone on about, though, is interesting. So that may be the difference. Do you think it would be?
I think that's probably the problem. Is the problem right there is that you think it's interesting. anyway, so I tell you what, let's get Michelle in, because we're going to be, our listeners just going to be slitting his wrists, I think, at this rate. So hopefully AT&T willing, we have Michelle Gars with her. Are you there, ma'am?
Yes, I thought when I first called in, I had to let you go, guy, for just a couple minutes because my little boy informed me that I needed to wipe his butt. So I was like, oh, okay.
Well, how old is it? Like, okay, do I stay on the phone? I'm like, what do I do here? I'm like, okay, I'll just hang up for like two minutes. You know, I'm like, oh my god, that would have been a first for this show, somebody getting their wiping their kids' butt live on air. I mean, you should say to short, look, you're 15, wipe it yourself. That's what I say to my kids.
Yeah.
You're 15, get, just, I'm not wiping that.
Yeah.
My son likes
to tell me what his poop looks like all the time, too. You know, like, Mom, I pooped. It looks like a scorpion tail and, like, all this stuff. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's tapered at the end. So, how old is he, if you don't mind me asking?
Five.
Oh.
But he needs a little help at the end.
He needs the final check. I mean, he's great. I mean, when they graduate from diapers to go in the toilet. I know when my daughter, my final child, who, I mean, she's eight now, but I mean, when she suddenly, and then she, right, I'm going, I'm, she'll actually say, I'm going for a shit, Dad. Seriously. No. She's got her iPad under her arm. I'm going for a big shit. I'll be back in 10. And off she goes. But obviously when she's at that moment, then you just hear this, Dad, I finished.
Yeah.
Oh, and your heart sinks.
Right.
Here we go.
Come check in, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I'm a clean.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you know, this is great timing. You know what I'm saying? I'm supposed to be on the radio right now. My son's like, Mom, I pooped. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh,
that's
Lord.
Good. I'll tell you a little tip. But I don't know if you do this, a parent-to-parent tip. What we did was got those, you know, those flushable wet wipes.
Yes.
We got those and put those on, and they are great for just getting the nipsy, just that final bit of clean. And then very quickly she was just doing that by herself. And,
oh,
you know. And
yeah.
Then,
I'm
hopefully,
definitely going to get
hopefully,
some of those.
Hopefully, I would recommend them wholeheartedly. My oldest is now, he's 25 this year. So that's 25 years of wiping bottoms. I've done my bit. No more. That's it. I refuse. And in fact, I say to the kids, look, you know, give me another few years, and I'm going to get to the age where you're going to be wiping my ass.
Exactly.
So
you're
going to
return the favor now.
I am so looking forward to that. I will just shit myself just for the hell of it. Seriously. I'll just sit on the sofa and shit myself so they have to clean me up just because it's
just
sort
of
retribution.
Yeah. I'm having a big shit. Just give me 10 minutes and then, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
Dad,
you're still on the couch.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's celery.
Our show is definitely one of a kind. You know, how often can you go from baseball and stamp collections to wiping butts? It's, you know.
We
are very toilet-centric. I have noticed that, actually, but it's great. I love all that. Michelle, thank you so much for joining and for sharing that little gem of family life.
Hey, you know, that's me, guys. I'm always telling you guys about my kids' poop.
Hey, I mean, we want to hear. I mean, do you have a blog about the poop? I mean, you should set up a blog.
I should, actually.
Have, yeah. I would. Oh. You know,
I've been hounding Michelle since she was on the show way back when we first started. I think she was like one of the, I don't know, first or second or third, somewhere around there shows. It was I've been hounding her ever since to come back. And,
is it that,
and
is
now
it
that I know
long
that
ago?
It was a. Yeah, oh,
do you
yeah,
regret that
was,
now that I'm talking about poop?
No.
Well,
Michelle,
it is a refreshing change from Xtina droning on about baseball. I could talk about poop all night.
She
happily.
Could be a baseball fan. You don't even know. We could spend the rest of the show talking about baseball. That would be amazing.
We could spend the rest of the show talking about poop.
Or
stamp.
There you go.
Come on now.
Let's do that,
away
shall we?
From the poo.
Well, I tell you what
exactly.
I would rather talk about, and here we go, smooth segue. What I would rather talk about is Michelle's book.
Yay!
Those Who
that
Follow
so
by Bloodshot. Books not yet released. This is it. So is this is written with Melissa, is it? This one, Michelle?
Yes. Yes, she wrote it with me.
Awesome. And do you have a release? It's coming out in July. Oh, so it's a summer release. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, go on. I mean, enough with the poop already. Just give us a little bit before you do the reading. Give us a bit of a build up. What's going on? What's it all about?
Okay. Well, originally we wrote a short story called "The Church in the Middle of Nowhere," that was put in a benefit anthology for a friend, James Newman, after he was injured by a tree branch falling on him and hurting him. And a lot of horror writers contributed to it. And this is really like one of the first things we got published, and everyone really liked it and stuff. And Ronald Kelly, he had suggested a couple times that we, take the story and make it into a novel. So we decided we wanted to do that. And then one conversation on Facebook kind of turned into people asking if we were ever going to do any kind of like twin horror, like any stories involving twin sisters. And this one, it does. So A Church in the Middle of Nowhere, the short story, was about a murderer that could take people to like another world to kill them. And he took them to a church in the middle of nowhere. It's like a desert and a church. And he murders people there. So now with this story, we got one sister in an asylum thinking she's going crazy, not realizing she has a sister that's actually being held captive in another world by this freaky dude. So. And,
awesome. We like
so
freaky dudes.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
All right. You guys like freaky dudes. Okay. So would you guys like me to read? My sister accuses me of sounding like Christopher Walken when I read, though.
A big fan of Christopher Walken. He's
me too.
Brilliant. I mean, talk about freaky. He's a freaky dude. He's great.
I love that dude. Yeah. He's freaky in all the good ways. So.
Yeah.
But. Okay, I'll read a little piece of it for you guys. And, besides reading to my sister, this is going to be, like, the first time I've ever read anything to, like, the public, I guess you'd say.
Oh, wow.
So,
there you go.
Well,
another
okay.
first
I'm
for the show.
Out.
I mean,
I'm freaked out right now.
An evening first. Oh, you go for it. You go for it.
And this is the we haven't done all the complete edits to this story yet, so if there's any little flubs in there, it may be
we can edit it as we go along. That'd be great, so.
Okay, yeah, here we go. Celia ran the tip of her finger between the shackle around her ankle and her skin. The blisters were weeping, leaving raw open spots in her flesh. Her stomach churned, full of acid and empty of food. It hadn't been filled in days, not since her last meal. Shame filled her each time her guts complained. She never wanted to eat again after what she had to do. She would rather starve than partake of the stranger's repast again. Be thankful you're alive, the old woman spoke. This ain't living, it's only surviving. Either way, you could have been the one it happened to, the one that became the sow. Celia looked to the old woman, face scarred like the other two huddling amongst the ruins of their flesh. She thought if ghosts could be real, these three women would be called as such, for they were truly lifeless, chained to the world in a pitiful existence that seemed for all eternity. It was bright outside. The sun beat against the dusty window pane, revealing a multitude of fingerprints smudging the years of grime. How many had tried to break it with their bare hands? How many had never escaped the church in the middle of nowhere? She looked up to the ceiling, its rickety beams adorned with identification cards, driver's licenses, faded pictures, and it reminded her of how many. Celia found herself hoping the roof would just cave in, destroying the macabre sanctuary of her captor, and if she was really lucky, it would become her tomb. Okay, I'm feeling kind of weird, guys. Am I cool?
Yeah, it's fine. If you want to stop there, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
That was
still waiting.
That was beautiful, Reg. You have a great a great reading voice. I could have sat and listened to that all night, to be honest. That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. It is one of my favorite parts. It is, definitely. And it never lasts long enough.
Oh, man.
Well, that, because,
thanks for letting me do that, guys.
Because, no, that's fine. No, that's, you can read more if you want. But because while you're reading, Xtina's drinking, which is why she likes people, you know, just breathe for
hours.
Oh, okay.
I can read some more then if she likes to drink some more.
No, don't encourage her. Don't encourage her, Michelle.
Hey now.
So, look, I mean, I've got to ask. I mean, you know, I'm not a big collaborative writer, I have to say. I mean, how do you find collaborative writing, and B, collaborative writing with your twin sister? I mean, you know, there's obviously, you know, there's a connection there. I mean, how does that work for you?
Well, for us, with the whole collaborative writing thing, it's just like how we've always written our whole lives. We've been writing together since we're little kids just for fun, you know, and it's just something that's always carried on with us through being teenagers and in our 20s and everything else. So, it's just really natural for us. It's almost like, you know, reminiscing, being kids again, playing pretend, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how it would work if I honestly tried to collaborate with somebody else besides my sister, because we've just always done it. We always keep notebooks of, you know, titles to stories or ideas for stories, and we usually get together about 3 to 5 days a week, and we'll work on whatever goals we have. Right now it's mostly novels and novellas. We have a couple short stories we're going to be working on here too, for some anthologies and stuff for fun. But yeah, we've always done it that way. We'll sit down, we'll discuss, you know, story ideas mostly. Like Moss will tell me a story idea and she'll be like, oh, where do you want to go with this? And we always outline a story first. So that helps us too, because we're not just going willy-nilly. You know, if I was writing alone or if she was writing alone, it might not be as important to follow a strict outline. But with the two of us, if we're separate, if I'm at my house or she's at her house, or right now, you know, she's working on moving and stuff, she's actually going to live closer to me, so that'll give us more time to write and stuff. But, you know, following the outline of where we want to go and what important things we want to hit, you know, like a story map, you know, where we're going to go with this, then even when we're not together, we can, you know, dole out, oh, I want you, could you do a couple chapters? And every time we talk about chapters, we talk about what we want to happen in them, you know. Every chapter, you know, should go somewhere, you know, obviously. Some people like our writing style, because I don't know if we have ADD or something, but it just seems like we're always like, well, let's add some action to it. Let's add some more action, you know, like, so we're always discussing where we're going to go with it first, you know. And any time we write anything, most of the time it's handwritten first, and then the typed version is like the second draft, so we can change whatever we please. So we read it to each other, and like I said, Melissa accuses me of sounding like Christopher Walken sometimes. And then, we'll, you know, that gives us a chance to say, you know, that sentence sounds kind of weird, or do we want to reveal this right now, or should we wait till later? You know, you don't want to dump too much at the beginning, kind of want to, you know, unfold it slowly for your audience. And, yeah, I mean, that's just how we've always worked. I think our true inspiration was not only from writers, you know, growing up, obviously, we loved the, you know, the kids' classics, I guess you'd say, Roald Dahl. We loved R.L. Stein, you know, all that stuff, the scary stories to tell in the dark, you know, all that. But what we also loved is when our dad would tell scary stories around the campfire. So for us, our first, first memory of wanting to be not really writers, it was storytellers, because we wanted to tell people stories. So writing and the craft, you can get better at over time. But the need to tell people a story is something I think anyone that is a writer or whatever, you're born with it and you want to do it. You know, it's not something you can really just pick up out of nowhere, just be like, oh, you know what, now I'm going to be a writer, you know?
Right,
I think
right.
that need for for me, too, it's weird, and I know my sister is the same, to make a connection with people, but not necessarily to their face, because I've always been, like, kind of a shy person, so I think it's cool to share pieces of my imagination with people, or to put little thoughts in their mind, get their imagination working, show them these little clips in their mind, little videos or whatever you want to say in your mind, but I don't have to speak to them.
I like that.
I
yeah,
I can be like a ghost or something.
I mean,
you know,
great,
I sneak in
yeah.
and I put stuff in your mind.
That's a great analogy. It's funny, I was just thinking about this just the other day. You know, you have, again, I was picking up Stephen King, bless him. You know, he's worth something like $700 million, and he's still writing. He's still writing. You've got Paul McCartney, who's worth about $800 million. I mean, these people, J.K. Rowling, they don't need the money, yeah, and they still do,
yeah.
whether it's writing, music, whatever. And it actually, and it's not in some instances, and I certainly with me, it's not always because I want to. Because I have to.
Right.
If I don't get this
yeah.
stuff out
oh,
of my
yeah.
head, it's going to stay in there,
yeah.
and it's going to stay in there,
yeah.
and more is going to come, and it'll probably eventually drive me insane. And I think that's what drives a lot of artists. Like you say, I mean, it's one of those, from being, you know, very, very, very young age, elementary school age, you know, all the kids wanted to be astronauts and firemen and police. I was going to write books. That's all I ever
yeah.
wanted
yep.
to do. For my entire,
yeah,
and because I've like you, Michelle, you know, always made up stuff. Obviously, not with anybody. I've always been me. You know, I always made up stories, and
yeah.
you know. But it's just like it's just that the thrill of knowing. You know, so somebody you are putting those images in people's heads. You're putting your thoughts into. It's almost like a telekinesis type thing. You know, you're putting
right.
sorry psychokinesis. You're putting something in somebody's head. You know, just
yeah.
by stringing X number of words together, you put the mental image from your head into theirs. And that is, and it took me a lot of years to realize that not everybody thinks that way. Not everybody can
right.
do that. You know, it's not everybody's the same.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
okay.
you know, I just make sure, you know, and even now, I just, yeah, it's just me. Like you say, he's playing pretend.
yeah, definitely.
You know, I in the past, shot short films, you know, written stuff, short films, and halfway through, you know, just think, what are we doing? We're adults, you know, and we're playing dress up and pretend, for fuck's sake, really?
Right.
And it's all it is. It's just pretend. It's like what
yeah.
we used to play when we were kids, but only there's a
exactly.
camera, you know?
yeah. It's still fun.
It's nice to be getting the stuff out of your head, you know, and sometimes
I
wish I had somebody I could, you know, sort of collaborate closely with just to bounce ideas off and what have you. But I don't,
you know,
I'm lonely.
Yeah, I was going to say about collaborating. I had never really thought about it before, but I think I would do really well with, especially if it was very disciplined. You know, like you said, you talk about each chapter and what needs to happen, and, you know, you have to really stick kind of like to the outline when you're collaborating with somebody. And I think that would work so good for me, because I lack discipline. I really do.
Yeah.
And if someone's telling me what to do, I think that would work really good for me.
Yeah.
But I was wondering.
Yeah.
Christina,
what you want is somebody to do it for you. So you could just sleep and drink, and then they just write it and just put your name on the front cover. That is your ideal sort of scenario, isn't it, really?
No, it's not.
No.
But I do like to sleep and drink.
I'm not far
along.
Drinking
makes the sleeping easier. Yeah, the drinking makes the sleeping easier. but I was wondering, Michelle, do you write on your own as well?
We both write on our own. We both write on our own too. I've had a couple things published just in my name, but that's mostly. When someone approaches me, like I was in a anthology, it was male versus female horror writers, and you know, it was unfair for them to put both of us against somebody. So, well, the first one was me. They actually agreed to it, like, in another anthology or whatever. But I wrote a story, and I won, you know. But, yeah, we write stuff on our own, too, you know. We've always wrote poetry on our own, you know, things like that. Or sometimes Melissa will start a story, or I'll start a story and be like, hey, I got 5,000 words on the story, you know. It's hanging in there. You know what I mean? It's not leaving me. Let's just see where this goes, you know? And sometimes that's how some of our longer stuff happens, you know? Something
like
that one of us started on our own and then, you know, just said, hey, you know what? I totally forgot. I was kind of, you know, writing this story. You want to jump in and see where it takes us, you know?
Awesome.
So
you probably get a lot of twin questions and stuff. When I was growing up, the very first series that I just absolutely adored was Sweet Valley High. Do you remember
Sweet Valley High?
Did
yeah. I didn't ever read any of the Sweet Valley High books. Honestly,
I was
a little kid, even when I was younger, I was like totally obsessed with monsters and weird things. It's because when we were little kids, Halloween was the best time in Arizona because it's finally cooling off. We were allowed to make our costumes at home, you know, so, and my mom always watched old scary movies. So when I was a little kid, I watched the Universal movies. I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, Just Before Dawn, Race with the Devil, all of these, you know, older movies and stuff. So to me, I don't know, it was weird. It's like other kids were interested in dinosaurs or some kids are interested in fire trucks. Me and Melissa have always been interested in monsters.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't read any of the Sweet Valley High, but we got a lot of people asking us about the Sweet Valley High, definitely. Oh, hey, twins, you know?
And you mentioned R.L. Stine. I was never a huge fan, actually, of R.L. Stine, but I loved Christopher Pike. He was...
He wrote more teenager and older kid ones, you know, and that was where we transitioned from the R.L. Stine from being like kind of like the younger kid stuff into like Christopher Pike, and then R.L. Stine wrote like the Fear Street stuff, you know.
Yes, I had those too.
So we went into those, and then when we got to junior high, they had a section of the library that you had to get a permission slip from your mother to check stuff out, and it was like Stephen King books.
Yeah.
So we're like, wow.
I think it was about middle school where I started to venture into Stephen King and John Saul. They were my favorites for a while. I remember some of the even scarier books that were just so disturbing. But that was so much fun. I love to be scared. I love the heart pounding, and there's just something.
Yeah.
Okay, James, you have to play the cute little 11 questions jingle. I'm going to forget about it if we don't do it, you know, soon. So play the little music there.
is it time? Is it time?
It is time. Okay. I'm watching the time slip away from us. I hate when that happens.
And now,
I know.
11 questions.
Okay, Michelle, what's your guilty pleasure?
I would say Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
Okay.
Yay!
Okay, baked beans, ranch style, or pork and beans?
Oh, I don't eat either very much, honestly, but if I had to choose, I guess I would say ranch style.
Okay, puppies or kittens?
Damn, I can't choose both of them? I love puppies and kittens, but
your,
I do have a dog.
Question.
I have a dog staring at me, so I will say puppies. I have a chihuahua staring at me saying, bitch, you better say puppies. So.
What's your favorite lunch meat?
Lunch meat? Roast beef.
Yeah. Mine too. What was your first car?
It was a Chrysler New Yorker. It was like a 1983 Chrysler New Yorker.
I'm still waiting for somebody to answer the way I did when this was my question. I knew it was red and it was a convertible. That's all I can remember.
She said it was a red one.
You're lucky,
yeah,
man.
Well done.
Yeah.
I love that car. Okay, what do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Spiders.
Yes. Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Jason.
First draft, handwritten or word processor?
Handwritten, but I did get a word processor last year, and I've been using it a lot, but I still write probably 80% of everything handwritten first.
Oh, I can barely sign my name anymore. Okay, favorite alcoholic drink?
A beer.
One interesting non-writing related fact about you?
Oh, I have some pretty big tattoos. I don't know if that's interesting or not.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
What do you have? Okay, well, first, let's finish this. And here we go. We have the bonus question. Baseball or stamp
bonus question.
Collection?
Okay, what was it?
Baseball or stamp collecting?
Oh, geez. Can I choose talking about poop?
No, you have to choose.
Oh, God. A baseball. I don't want her to kill me. I don't want her to beat me.
That's my feelings.
Can I say collecting stamps of baseball players?
That's a beautiful compromise. We'll let you have that one, yes.
That's a good answer, I suppose.
That's a good one. Very, very diplomatic. Very diplomatic.
Yes.
Okay, we will be asking her back.
Suck up.
Hopefully next time my kid's not pooping in the middle of me trying to call you.
He needs to time it so he's pooping while we're on the air. That'd be awesome.
Oh, my God.
That'd be great. You could get a running commentary of what's going on. That'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he'd tell you what it looked like because he makes up everything. It looks like a number 9. It looks like a scorpion tail. It looks like a pretzel. I'm like, oh, my God, stop.
Goodness.
Yeah. I'm talking. Excuse me.
I know
me.
You are, and I was interrupting.
So was I. I was talking while you were interrupting. I'm so sorry.
Exactly.
Sorry, I'm going to be quiet now. Go on. It's your moment, Xtina. Go ahead.
Hush. I was asking Michelle when her book was releasing, and if she could let us know where to find her online. See, I'm trying to keep with our, the program here, James, and not talk about poop.
You're trying to be professional. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was kind of ruining that. I do apologize.
Okay, so Those Who Follow is going to come out in July through Bloodshot Books. It'll be on Amazon. People will probably hear me yakking about it a lot on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I have an Amazon author page. And I'm on Twitter. Well, me and my sister are on Twitter at Fiend Books. So that's us.
Yeah,
the Sisters of Slaughter.
I'm pretty sure we have all of those links up on our Facebook page, too, for anybody who wants to follow Michelle.
Yes.
And I wanted to thank you so much for coming on the show. And will you? I will stalk you again. So you might as well say now that you'd like to come back.
Sure. Like,
yay,
I said, if you guys don't mind me talking about poop and stuff, I'm totally.
I love
board,
it.
So.
I love it.
I think James.
I think James
could probably have some cute little, maybe some little snaps of like sound clips or something that would accompany your next visit.
Okay.
Well, actually, funny enough, we do what we've got one. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we had Professor Declan McManus on with us from the Society of Sufferers of Explosive Diarrhea, and let me just cue this up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my word.
We're hoping to have him on again next week, so...
I had to say something, didn't I? That was my fault. Please forgive me.
There's just something so inherently funny about it. I don't know. It's just... somebody tells you a joke, yeah? And then they tell you it again, and then they tell you it again. And by about, even the funniest joke, by about the third or fourth time, you don't laugh, yeah? It's not funny anymore.
Right.
But a fart, yeah? I still laugh at farts now.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always laughed at farts. So why is it that farts are still, no matter how old you get, they're still funny? They never stop being, why? How does that happen? Why are they, what evolutionary purpose do we have behind finding farts funny? There's got to be a reason for it. There has to be.
I think that's a boy thing, though. I'm not so sure about it being a girl.
No, you should. My daughter will literally pee her pants laughing at a fart. I mean,
well, she is
so, no,
your
it's
daughter.
Not a boy thing. Well, yeah, there is that. She's been raised well. Well, it's just one of those things that, I mean, for everything about, obviously, there is an evolutionary advantage. So there is an evolutionary advantage for some reason that we find farts amusing. And I'd love to know
right.
why.
Oh, God.
There's a PhD or a master's degree in there for somebody. Because,
oh,
because
I
animals.
Funny.
You know, I mean, Michelle has a dog, you know, so your dog will fart, my dog's fart.
Oh, yeah.
And they just look disgusted at them. To be fair, they look at me. Like, was that you? Well, no, it was you,
damn it.
Well, they'll sort of bend over and sort of sniff at it and then look like, oh, is that me?
Oh my God,
just,
why?
They look disgusted. They never look amused.
Oh, yeah.
You
know what?
Dog looking
me and my
amused.
Husband. Me and my husband were at the bank, like, it was a couple weeks ago, and we were waiting, and, of course, there's, like, one... lady just standing there, and she's kind of like, kind of looked like she was kind of snooty, you know what I mean? And we're standing there, we're talking, and then she, I know she was trying to make it silent, but it like ripped, you know what I'm saying? And she just looked around like, what the hell? And like, I almost could not contain my laughter. I was like, oh my God, that lady just totally ripped ass, like right next to
awesome.
Us. Like, what?
Awesome. That's why that's why it's good having small children, because you just say, stop that.
Right.
Well, I've done that a few times. Like, so you'll sneak one out and you make sure you stood by the pushchair.
Oh,
you just sneak a quiet one out. And, like you say, and then you just look at the kid and I'm so sorry. Oh, my goodness. I think it needs changing.
Oh, how dare you? I told you not to do that in public. Come on.
We're in public. We're in the restaurant. How could you? You smell now. Dirty child.
Oh, my goodness. How did we get on this subject? How did it happen?
You know what? You never know what's going to happen, honestly, when I call in. Because
I mean, to be fair, it was Michelle that did set the tone. So this one's on your own, Michelle. So.
Yeah, this is all my fault, guys. All the farts and poop.
I want Michelle on every week. This is great. I'm loving it.
Yes.
I will say,
you
can just talk about anything around me.
I'm laughing so much my cheeks are hurting, though. So I think that's a good thing. I'm hoping it's
a good
entertaining
thing. Yeah.
For
that's
our
a good
listeners
thing.
As well. Our listener as well.
Yeah, bless him. Bless him.
Yeah, but it looks like we are just about up for the first segment, and I hate that the time went by so fast. It went by terribly fast, and I can't wait to book you again to have you come back, and maybe we'll do the whole entire show with just Michelle next time. You know what would be
cool?
We could get you and your sister both together.
Yeah.
I wonder how that would work.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yay. I don't
fun.
Know why I didn't make it, but yeah, definitely.
Make it happen. That would be fantastic. I would love that.
I will. I would get on that. So
good.
I thank you so much for coming on the show, Michelle, and we will. I will definitely be stalking you, and yeah, that's all I have. I thought I had another thought, but that was it. So
I think that's
well,
the fact that you're going to be stalking her.
I will.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No, thank you, Michelle.
Thank you
so much for joining us. And have a great rest of your evening.
You too. Have a good one, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
I did too. Definitely
Poopy's for toilet humor is just funny.
Okay, I'm not sure if I needed that.
Are you do commercials? I think I'm a bit, because I've had a bit of a stomach ache all day, I'm a bit sort of focused on that in my body at the moment. So.
Oh, it's just what you needed, huh?
I know exactly what I need right now. So can you get to the commercials when we get to the break pretty quickly?
Yes, sir.
Please.
Okay, a brand new
Please.
Press specializing in what? Oh, I'm starting already. Okay, a brand new press specializing in horror, bizarro, dark erotica, erotic horror, and dark poetry. Hellbound Books Publishing wants your best stories. Now open for novels, short story collections, and anthology submissions. Please pay no mind to the sulfur smell. Go to hellboundbookspublishing.com to learn more. In the mood for something steamy to read this spring, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
And breathe. And there we go. That was awesome. Well done. So we're going to have a bit of a break for a couple of minutes, and then we'll be back with Becky. Hopefully Becky's all ready with her review and as excitable as ever. And yeah, it's kind of petered out there, didn't I? You know, I was like you said, I was going to say something, and then it just went. So.
I do it all the time.
I know. That's because you're drunk, though, so I don't have that excuse tonight. So. Okay, let's run into the break, and we will be right back.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't go. Step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but lay off my blue suede shoes. Yeah, you can knock me down. My face, slapping my name all over the place. Do anything you want to do, but honey, lay off of them shoes. Don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Yeah, you can do anything but lay off my blue suede shoes. My car, drink my liquor from an old fruit jar. Do anything you wanna do. Honey, lay off of them shoes. Don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Yeah, you can do anything but lay off my blue suede shoes. Rah! The show. Get ready now, go cat, go, but don't step on my blue suede shoes. Yeah, you can do anything but lay off my blue suede shoes. Well,
welcome back to part two.
Indeed, welcome back to part two. That was Carl Perkins, who originally sang that song. And I think, to be fair, I actually prefer that version personally, because a bit of a purist, I guess. But and yes, it is. It's part two, which is can we top part one? I have to say, what say you, Xtina? Can we do better than that?
We can sure try, but we'll see. Yeah.
let's see if we can. Okay, for here's a challenge for the next sort of 40 minutes. Let's see if we can not discuss poo. it's gonna be a tough one, I have to say, but.
I'm pretty sure I can manage. I think I can do it. I'm pretty
sure.
Yeah,
it's probably me that can't. But so yeah. Hey, before before we have Becky on. I don't know, is she waiting in the wings? God bless her. So I said, God bless her. We've not had on the show for a while because we weren't here last week. It's got to be the one and only. It's got to be.
Grab him by the pussy.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things. Like, lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things.
Oh, James, you're doing that weird demonic thing. You're right now.
Okay.
Let's bring
Becky on that way, shall we?
I think she said let's bring Becky on.
Looks like it's time to review something. Oh no.
I love that one.
I do too. Yeah. So,
okay,
what book go ahead, Becky.
Sorry. Tonight I'm going to talk about Jason McIntyre's book called Deathbed. This book was recommended to me by a friend, and I was like, okay, no problem. It's very well written. I just absolutely loved it. It's very detailed, but not so much that, you know, you can't imagine what the place and the people look like. It really just plays out in your head when you start reading it. I mean, you can hear the sounds, you can see the people. It's a very touching story and really creepy in places, you know, just right where it needs to be. What makes it so scary to me is it's very believable. This really could have happened. I can't wait to read the next one. There are 7 in the series, and, well, I'm addicted now, so I went out and bought them all on Amazon last night. And he asked me, are you going to read them in order? And I was like, yeah.
And yeah, so, how else do you read them?
He said, okay, well, but you have to tell me which one was your favorite after you get done reading them. And I'm like, okay, no problem. He said he hopes to have 10 out in total. They range from full novels to short stories. I highly recommend this to anybody that loves a good story and loves horror. I was really impressed. Really impressed.
You know, I have to say that I'm reading it as well. I'm about 70 to 75% in, according to my Kindle. I just have not been reading the last week or so, but I was enjoying it. I was enjoying the hell of it too. We should have buddy read. You know, we should buddy read it together. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would have been pretty cool. Yeah. But I agree with you. I think that I love the writing and you're spot on when you were saying that you can feel it. You can see it in your head, and you know,
yes.
you can. I like that. I did. So I'm enjoying it, and I can't wait to keep going and finishing.
Well, I've got them all. Anytime you want to read one, let me know.
So, with the whole Amazon and the Goodreads, what is it? The star rating. How many stars would you give it?
Oh, I'd definitely give it 5 out of 5.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome. I would too.
And I'm going to review it on the blog tomorrow, and we'll post the review on Amazon as well. So if anybody wants to read that, they're more than welcome to see what
awesome.
I thought about the actual story itself.
Awesome. This was I love having this little the little book review time, James. This is a really good idea of yours you had, and you know he does occasionally he has these good ideas, and I don't want to let them go to his head too much.
I'm still here. So am I sounding less robot-y now? Am I sounding okay?
You are. You sound great.
Yay.
Yeah.
I find if I sort of mute myself for a bit and then come back, but no, it's nice. It's always nice to. To hear, you know, get reviews on good books, and you know, we all try to read as much as we can, and I know as writers, but not always easy. We're all between
right.
everything else, but
right.
which is nice to, you know, but Becky reads them all, so we don't have to, you know, we just pick out the best book. any of it's a bit crappy. Well, I'm just not going to bother with that one. We do need our own. Instead of, you know, let's have a rating out of sort of 7.23, I think, and we'll do that system.
7.23, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Remember that. Yeah.
Or eggs. How many eggs would you give it? You know, so those little like butterfly eggs that look like little rugby balls. You know, those
oh,
eggs. Little yellow ones. I like
unless
those.
Unless you didn't like eggs at all, and then you would not want the eggs. So it would be kind of confusing, you know.
Yeah, but who doesn't like butterfly eggs? What's not to like? Seriously.
I'm not even sure what
What's
you
wrong
mean
with
by
you?
Butterfly eggs. What does that mean? I don't understand. What is a butterfly egg? Am I missing something?
It's an egg that a butterfly lays.
Oh,
where do you think butterflies come from? It's Dina.
Oh my God! I think I just did it. That was oh my God! It was a penny moment.
Mm.
Wow. Okay, can
the
we edit that out
head.
Of the show? Do you think we can edit that?
I think we should, don't you? No, we'll edit
I'm
it out and put
it.
That's going all over Facebook tomorrow. That way.
What
do you mean by butterfly eggs? Well, you know. Okay.
Okay, I'm over here thinking, is this some kind of cool, like, I don't know, Easter candy that I don't know about? Or that's what I thought.
Oh, no.
James, butterflies, they come from cocoons. They're caterpillars, and then they're cocoons. There's no eggs. Are there eggs? I think you're pulling my chain.
This America is why you have Donald Trump as a president. You deserve it. This is exactly why. Becky, I am.
Yes,
you are. That is an insult to my zoology degree. I'm not even going to. Warrant that with an answer. Look it up. Google it. Where do butterflies come from? For goodness sake.
I need
Seriously.
More to drink.
I'll send it to her later.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So, Becky, on that happy note, could you leave now?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
It's been a... It's been a pleasure, et cetera, et cetera. So, thank you. We'll speak to you next week.
Oh, thank you, Becky.
In the meantime, look up where butterflies come from. There will be a quiz on next week's show, okay?
Oh,
God.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll speak
Bye.
To you later, Becky. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I mean, really. I mean, seriously, come on.
I thought you were talking about... candy. I had no clue what butterfly eggs you were. I really didn't, and now I feel really stupid. So thank you for making me feel stupid.
No, that I get, but that they come from cocoons is probably the funniest thing I've heard zoologically speaking in a long time. So I like that.
Anywho,
we have a guest. We have Andy waiting in the wings. Hopefully, shall we bring him on? I'll tell you what we need to do. I'll tell you who else we haven't had on.
Oh, no. Xena has been at the wine again.
Most fitting. Thank you, Professor Hawking. Yes, she has, hasn't she? So, hopefully, AT&T willing, we have Andy Pellegrin on the line. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Excellent. Good to speak to you, sir.
Yeah, I've been listening to the last about half hour of the show, and I'm really feeling on the spot. I don't know if I can compete with the very highbrow humor of the previous segment.
Oh, God.
I did say it was going to be a tough act to follow. Unless you are fresh from wiping a small child's bottom, then it's going to really go the extra 9 yards, I'm afraid.
I've been
racking my
head for my...
I thought you said we were going to try to stay out. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was saying I've been racking my head for the best fart jokes I can come up with, and I just can't compete with what you guys have had to offer. So I'm just gonna withdraw with dignity, I guess.
Well, there is no dignity on this show. You should know that by now.
I'm trying to bring a little bit occasionally.
Yeah,
but you fail
miserably, Xena, really, don't you? We have actually the challenge is over the next half an hour is not to mention poo, farts, or toilet. So let's try a little
just
more highbrow.
You failed like 3 times. You get points taken away. You know, well, I count down.
From now then. From
I'm
now.
Pretty crappy at these sort of challenges. So.
So Andy, sir, thank you for joining us again. You're here to chat about your, and I cannot pronounce it, your book, which is the last.
Bucellari,
there we go. Book 3. So is this the final one in the trilogy, or is this just...
No, that's halfway done. Book 3 of 6.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So I always have to ask, I mean, you know, authors who commit to, I mean, I struggle to commit to what, you know, sort of a series of one. How do you manage not to get bogged down looking forward from starting book 1 to the end of book 6? How does it just not tie your brain in knots?
Well, I've actually sort of had a policy where I write book 1 without always knowing where the story goes. Like, I have the idea for book 1, and I'll sit down and write it. And then when I start on book 2, or I start planning book 2, then I sort of flesh out books 2 and 3. And like that, that way I don't worry about the future. You know, the future, it's there. I'm always going to have something to worry about, so I'm going to focus on the book that I'm writing now.
That's what I would have to do, because I think, like you say, how many words would that be? 6 books. So you're looking at potentially 500,000 words minimum.
Seven hundred thousand, give or take.
Exactly. I mean, that would just, wow. Which is why I've never written more than a series of one, and probably never will.
I find that I just cannot write short. I've been working on a series of short stories, and I start off with these ideas that are very short, and then they develop into 8,000-word short stories before I'm done. It's just, I don't have the ability to write concisely.
I struggle. I mean, my short stories first run through sort of somewhere between 11 and 14. When I've written them before, you know, add another 1,000 words and it's a novella, you know. But there is an art. I'm with you, and I'm still trying to master the art of the concise short story, you know, trying to capture everything within 5,000 to 8,000 words, and it's not easy. I mean, I say, like you, obviously very verbose when it comes to writing. You know, why use one word when you use 30? That's what I say.
People
want words. You know, they don't buy a book because it's got like 6 words in it. You know, they buy a big Stephen King doorstop with, you know, with 200,000 words in it. You know, so there you go. That's my philosophy on writing anyway.
Mine, I share the same one.
Excellent. So the last Bucellari, just give us a bit of background on it, Andy.
All right, well, the series follows the Hunter. That's his name, his title. He's a half-demon assassin with a dagger that drives him to kill and voices in his head. Very schizoaffective disorder. And he's become an assassin as a coping mechanism for dealing with these voices in his head. And so in the first book, it showed him, just sort of introduced him and his world, his skills as an assassin. In book 2, he was sort of struggling with the fact that these voices were controlling him, and he was fighting them. I'm not going to kill because you tell me to. I'm going to kill when I want to. I'm not going to do it. Now in book 3, he's sort of come back to a middle ground of, I know I need to do it. It's this biological and psychological imperative, so I'm going to sort of channel it into killing the people who deserve it. And the excerpt that I'll read a little bit later showcases that nicely.
That sounds it's my kind of story. I like that. Do you want to do your you've got a bit of a reading for us, Andy?
Sure. Last time we had so much fun doing the voices, but I think this excerpt only has the one voice.
Oh, boo! Do you know, that was the most fun I've ever had. It was great.
I remember that. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do. It was great. I ended up doing the voice. I think I was the sort of the Darth Vader type character. I enjoyed that.
It was fun. Unfortunately, the other character only has one line. Would you like to read that line?
Me? I would love to. Which line? Well, you can cue me in.
Yes.
I will do the line. James, we can edit that out. We can edit the cue out.
There you go.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Off you go. I'm excited.
Here
now. Go for it.
The hunter peered out from behind the silent wagon. Good. No sign of Kellen or Graydon. He'd have to keep an ear out for the caravan guards, but he should have plenty of time. The patrol had a lot of ground to cover. Grunting, he shifted the heavy load on his shoulder and darted out from the row of shelters, hurrying toward the outcropping of boulders he'd chosen specifically for his task. He ducked behind the boulders and hurled his burden to the ground. A grunt and muffled cry came from the bundle, and something squirmed within. He's coming, too. Good timing. The hunter pulled back the canvas, and moonlight shone on Rill's pale, sweat-soaked face and wide eyes. Blood oozed from a wound on the bald man's temple. The hunter hadn't bothered to be gentle. This is your line, James.
No. What?
Rill's eyes darted around, and his gaze fell on the hunter.
What is this?
The hunter struck the man hard. Justice. Rill made to cry out, but the hunter stuffed canvas into his mouth. Ironic, isn't it? His fingers twitched a corner of the thick cloth. You spend every waking hour stitching up canvas. Fitting that it will serve as your funeral shroud. There was more than enough of it around to wrap you up. The bald man's eyes widened, and he mumbled something through the mouthful of fabric. The hunter shook his head. Better you don't speak. Nothing you say can change what's coming. Best you die with a bit of dignity. Watcher knows you had little enough while you lived. Soul hunger, sensing blood, pounded louder in his mind, and the demon added its eager demands. I never understood men like you, knocking around your women. He squatted on his haunches. Just doesn't make sense. Rill tried in vain to shout through his gag. The hunter narrowed his eyes. Did you know there is a special hell reserved for your kind, those who take advantage of the helpless? He slipped soul hunger from its sheath and held the glinting blade before Rill's eyes. You may tell yourself she belongs to you. You can do whatever you want. He leaned forward, and his voice dropped to a low growl. Just because you can, that doesn't mean you should. Rill's eyebrows shot up, and his expression turned pleading. The hunter shook his head. Save your excuses for the Long Keeper. You'll be with him soon enough. With a vicious smile, he drove soul hunger through the canvas and into the man's chest. The gag muffled Rill's scream, but the dagger's shriek echoed in his head with mind-numbing force. Soul Hunger's gem flared, red light brightened the darkness. The hunter grunted as a finger of fire etched a line in his chest. Power coursed through him, setting his muscles twitching, flooding him with life and pushing back the voices in his mind. Slowly, the brilliance leaking from the gemstone faded to nothing, and Rill's screams of agony and terror fell silent. The hunter basked in the stillness of the night. A soothing breeze washed over him, the chill soothing the burn of his new scar. Glorious silence echoed in his head. The voices had been sated. He had peace, for a time. He straightened and stared down at the bundled corpse. Perhaps the Long Keeper will have mercy on you. An image flashed through his mind, a pitiful figure huddled at the entrance to Rill's tent, covered in filthy rags and reeking of blood and coitus. Rill's desire to punish Gwen had made it easier for the hunter to slip in, knock the fat bastard out and wrap him in his own canvas, and slip out unnoticed. The man's absence wouldn't be discovered until morning. Few would care. He took a deep breath, relishing the cool scents of the desert at night. He would wait a few minutes until he was certain Graydon and Kellen had passed. Then he would dispose of the body, bury the canvas, and slip back into camp. Without the voices shrieking and pleading in his mind, He might even be able to catch a few hours of undisturbed sleep before the morning breakfast bell. Tonight would be a good night. The end.
Awesome. The end. I thought my part was particularly well read, I have to say.
That was probably the best performance of all.
I think that's what made it, Andy, to be honest with you. That's what made it. So if you do an audiobook version of that, but just call me.
Absolutely.
Call me.
You know, wait, I think that next time we have Andy on, he needs to write like a little skit and all three of us just, you know, read from the skit. That was so much fun, the interactive, and I'm sad that I didn't get to play.
Well, next time, pick a bit with three parts. That'd be great.
Absolutely.
Sort of make a player.
Yes.
That'd be brilliant. I would like that.
Absolutely.
Like
the next book that I have will be a thief story, the second book in my thief series, and she has a crew that she deals with. So, Xtina, you can read the female character, and James and I will read the male characters.
That is awesome. Yes. Yes, we will do that. I'm even more excited now.
I know, me too. I think I've had too much to drink because I'm thinking, a threesome?
seriously, you had to go there, didn't you? You really had to go there. You a terrible person. You probably haven't had enough to drink. I think that's the problem.
No, I think it's too much.
So, I'm going to ask, what the inspiration for this? I love the concept of a guy who becomes a killer to deal with his psychological problems. You know what I mean? It's a great sort of non sequitur. You know, I mean, what on earth, you know, inspired that?
It's actually an interesting journey, sort of, so to speak. I started out writing this assassin comic book, really. It was a comic book script. And I've always loved novels about assassins and thieves, sort of the criminals of fantasy worlds. And so I wanted to write one. And I wrote this assassin, and he was a total badass. But then there was nothing, there was no human connection with him. So when I was doing a second draft and sort of fleshing it out, I spent time researching the psychological profile of assassins. And I found the Secret Service did a whole paper on it. They broke down sort of the 8 reasons why people become assassins and hitmen and things like that. And so as I was reading it, just sort of this idea sparked in my head of this character not only doing it for money, but then also sort of as a coping mechanism. And just around that time, I watched an episode of Criminal Minds, the TV show, where one of the villains that they're chasing, the murderers of the week, he has the voice of his father in his head, and the father is very disapproving, and so he kills as sort of to get his father to shut up. And I watched that, and it just fell into place. It was like the perfect thing. These voices in the hunter's head, this dagger that's his only link to his ancestry, his heritage. He can't get rid of it because it's the only thing he has of his past, and yet it's a burden. So he's as much a victim in his own life as the people he kills. It's just this really interesting, really rich character that sprang to life from these different pieces of the puzzle.
Awesome. I like you say, I mean, it's fine. I haven't seen Criminal Minds for a while. It's interesting that they actually touched on that. But and you say that's quite a common thread with killers.
Well, no, the thing is there's a lot of different reasons for there's serial killers, there's assassins and hitmen, there's the sort of people who, you know, who do the school shootings and stuff. So each type of killer sort of has their own psychological background, their own psychological profile, as it were. So doing the sort of research of a person who would kill for a living and be good at it and actually almost enjoy it is very different than someone who has who breaks down and brings an AK-47 to their office. So researching the specific type of killer led to the development of this character.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah,
I must admit that just fascinates me. I just sort of just got my thinking. I've read up on serial killers, not assassins. And I guess it's a specific type of serial killer, but somebody obviously yes, doing it for a living, do it for money. I mean, they do it because they enjoy it, I guess. But the psyche of the serial killers is that sort of varied. You know,
yeah, absolutely. serial killers, male serial killers, often tend to have a very predominant psychosexual motives.
I was going to say sex is a big one with them, yeah.
Yeah, whereas assassins, it's just a job. There are psychological issues that allow them to dissociate from what they're doing, from the violence of their actions, but it's far less something that they're driven to do as much as something that they just do well.
But, I mean, do you not think it's a case that they're getting off on it? I mean, they get the thrill. It's like a salesman, yeah, a good salesman, a professional salesman gets that thrill from the sale, yeah? Could it just not be that it's more than just a job, you know, that they're actually getting at least an endorphin rush from that? They must do. They must do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are so many, like, it's all so many fine lines, you know? There are assassins who are more serial killers than professional hitmen. And then there are professional hitmen who have families who can go home to their wife and child and treat it like another day at the office, and their family never know what they're doing, and they're perfectly normal, except they kill for a living. So there's just this massive range of people who can do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Million-dollar question, do you think you could do it?
I don't know. That is a really tough question. Doing research into the type of person who becomes an assassin, it usually does involve some sort of psychological or physical trauma. A lot of the people who go into becoming hitmen and things, they have military backgrounds, or they have histories of abuse or neglect, orphans, child soldiers, things like that. There are perfectly normal people who do it as well, but a lot of them, a significant number, have these backgrounds of abuse, whether it's psychological or emotional or physical.
I guess that's where the disassociation comes from, because they learn from a young age to disassociate from, you know, the abuse, from the pain, from all of that. So
exactly.
I guess once that mechanism is built into the psyche, then they can pretty much do anything, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
So I think we mentioned this previous week, and I reading up on serial killers, mostly a lot of British serial killers. They found, again, globally, they found a link between frontal lobe damage and serial killers. A big proportion have, and whether it's through an accident or through birth or just some defect, there's a part of the frontal lobe that is in the part that stops you from murdering people, and it's damaged in some way, physically, chemically, whatever. And because that is defective, they believe that has some. It's almost like the stop mechanism isn't working, which is how these people can do what they do without. Because we've all had those thoughts. You know, the number of things, I'd just love just to, you know, shoot somebody in the face just to see what it's like, or because they've upset me or whatever, or push them off a building or whatever. But we don't, you know. And these people, because there's not that mechanism to stop them, they can actually act on that. And as Andy said, you know, they disassociate. It was just, you know, it's just like, you know, cooking an egg for breakfast, you know, something they did. Which must be, it would be great to be able to get inside somebody's head for a day, somebody like that, and just see what their thought processes really are, what is going on in there, you know, and what they see as the norm, you know.
It is both fascinating and terrifying.
Oh, it would be, it would be horrifying, yes.
Terrifying.
But certainly speaking as a writer of dark things, you know, it would be invaluable. I would love to do that. But,
yeah.
Well, now to get us off of the really scary, very scary topic, I was wondering if did you have an embarrassing story to share with us?
I guess I have to. I'm now sort of
I have to
match up to the awesome humor of the previous segment. So you know.
Well,
yeah, maybe
you
we
what,
can
what,
stay
what?
Out of the potty room for this.
No. There's no boundaries on this segment. We'll do the jingle, and then we'll have the embarrassing story.
Hi, I'm Patty.
All right.
And I'm Thelma. What is your most embarrassing story?
That was awesome. Whatever and whoever that was awesome.
Right.
Okay, so my embarrassing story, it actually wasn't so embarrassing for me at the time, but it is now looking back on it. So when I was in my mid to late teens, 16, 17, 18, I was working on a construction site. And there was a lot of other younger guys my age working there, you know, cheap labor basically, working for our parents. And we would get together after work and play volleyball and hang out and stuff. And so as a teenager, you know, hygiene isn't really very high on the list. I had, you know, ratty clothes because I was at a construction site. And so, you know, I would run out of underwear and go commando because, you know, who cares? I'm just sweating at the construction site for 10 hours a day. So one day, you know, going commando, we decide that we're going to have a volleyball game after work. And, of course, totally unthinking, I signed up to play. And we're playing, and, you know, super intense game, back and forth, diving for the ball, spiking all the awesome stuff. And boom, my pants rip straight down the seam. And there I am in the middle of a volleyball court with no underwear on and split pants. That was definitely
awesome.
A moment that I will not repeat.
But it's pretty cool that you weren't actually too embarrassed at the time. You know, that's I would have died of embarrassment.
So what did you do? How did you actually get out of that?
I laughed it off and shuffled off the court with as much dignity as I could muster.
Which is probably not much.
Yes, not a lot.
That's awesome.
Not a lot after that. No. Well, it's good to have an embarrassing story that didn't involve anything lavatorial for a change. That was great. Well done.
Yes,
thank
it
you.
Was a
well
good
done.
Embarrassing story. Again, you know, and I have to ask the even though you didn't do 11 questions, you still get the bonus question of baseball or what is it, James?
Stamp collecting.
Is that yes? So baseball or stamp collecting?
Is this playing, watching?
You just pick one.
which would you rather do? Oh, you see,
baseball.
You know.
Baseball, yay, yeah. That's two for baseball and none for James. So. X team is winning.
Now, if you would have said puzzles, I would have been all over that. But stamp collecting has just never been a thing for me.
Oh,
yay.
No. So when we say puzzles, you mean sort of like jigsaw puzzles or...
Yeah, jigsaw puzzles.
All right. You know, I can do the straight edges on them, and that's it. I've done more over the years. I've got all the straight edges done, and then I'm lost. I'm just lost. I don't think I've ever finished a jigsaw puzzle in my life. And they're just beyond me.
Yeah, I don't have the...
I'm
I
the
don't
sort
have
that divides...
Them.
I divide them all into the different colors. You know, according to the... There's the sky, and there's the forest, and then there's the flower. And then I'll put all the pieces together in the color, and then figure out where they all go, and build like that.
Oh, wow. You know, my sister, I don't know how she does it. I mean, she gets these, like, they're double-sided, and they're just, like, all baked beans.
Oh, wow.
And she can just, literally, she sort of picks a handful out of the box, lets them trickle down, picks one out, puts it in, and it's hypnotic to watch her. How she does it, I don't know. And she's always been able to do that. And here's me with my straight edge. You know, so these, you know, the kiddie ones, are like 20-piece jigsaws. I've done the outside bit. And I'm trying to follow the picture on the box lid, and I can't do this. And she's literally doing these, like, you know, 5,000 piece, and it's all. I think she had one that was like C, and it was just C.
Wow.
And she would just literally pick, and she would just find the bits and pop, and she would just do that for hours and hours. I don't know how she does it. Really don't. Spooky.
That
is
some Rain Man level puzzling.
Yeah,
I mean,
must be.
I mean, she's a very intelligent woman. I mean, she's 3 years older than me. She's got a PhD and this and that. Some level of on the autistic scale, I think, just to be able to do that. But I've always admired puzzlers. I'm not a good puzzler, I have to say.
Maybe it's like therapeutic, or it has like, you know, therapeutic qualities to it, like. I color. I know that not like, you know, kid coloring books. They have adult coloring books now, and I have these like skulls and stuff that I color. And it's very, you know, when I'm trying to get my brain to quiet down because it's so chaotic in there all the time.
It seems
so
to be a big thing.
Nice.
Funny, our local library actually holds adult colouring evenings where you just go along and get your crayons and colour. I mean, the adult colouring books, seriously, I mean, they're everywhere. There's even a rude one where you colour in and they're just, it's rude words. You know, you colour in and it says bastard or fuck or whatever.
Nice.
And I mean, I honestly believe anything that is therapeutic, that takes you out of yourself for a little bit and helps your mental health, I mean, yeah, go for it. I need to find something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we all do.
It's probably SpongeBob with me. I love to see much SpongeBob with my little girl.
Oh, no, I can't do it. My son watches SpongeBob, and every time
SpongeBob
he comes
SpongeBob is awesome.
He even looks up songs that SpongeBob has on the cartoon and will play them for me, and
yeah.
I just want to.
We have them.
Everybody.
My daughter has them on her iPod. We've got a whole selection of SpongeBob songs. Yeah.
No, I can't do it. But I've never been one for any cartoons, really. Even like adult cartoons, I've never been a fan.
You prefer baseball, so that says a lot about you, doesn't it?
I love baseball. We have a listener who wants to know who's a goofy goober, and I know that that's from SpongeBob.
I'm a goofy goober, yeah. Goober, yeah. Yay, loving it. I could do the whole song. That's
okay,
some SpongeBob karaoke night.
No, we shouldn't.
No.
We really shouldn't.
No, we'll not. No, better not.
Okay, well, I wanted to... It's come to the end of our show, unfortunately. This time has gone by so incredibly fast. And Andy, will you come back and see us again?
Oh, absolutely.
So, Andy, I've got to ask, where are you? Are you outside?
Outside? No, I'm sitting in front of a fan. It's really hot.
Yeah, we got. So you stood outside in the backyard or something. That's
sorry.
That explains it. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, Andy. Always a pleasure to chat. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me on.
I missed you. I missed you last time. I was sick, so I'm very happy that I got to, chat with you this time because the show is not the same without Xtina. As much as we love James, it's not the same.
It isn't. No, I missed you. I missed you. Evening, I really did. It's not the same, no. No, I'll admit that.
So I thank you so much, Andy, for coming back, and I will definitely be hounding you and on Facebook for to book you again. And we need that three-part reading next time so we can all play along because that was so much fun. I had a lot of fun.
Yes,
we will do that.
Yeah,
we will do that.
The book is coming out July 18th, so anytime in July, I am there with the excerpt for us to read as a whole play. We can read chapters.
Yay, awesome.
Get into it.
Xtina will get you booked in.
I will.
Okay,
we're going to have to say goodbye. We will hopefully we'll speak to you in July then, Andy.
All right, thank you so much.
Have a great rest
of
your evening. Good night. Bye-bye. Well, yeah, it is that time. Time is just about up. So what is it we say every evening?
We say goodbye, Xtina.
We say goodbye, Xtina, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Why do you whisper green grass? Why tell the trees what ain't so? Whispering grass, the trees don't have to know. No, no. Why tell them all your secrets? Who kissed there long ago? Whispering grass, the trees don't need to know. Don't you tell it to the breeze, 'cause she will tell the birds and bees, and everyone will know, because you told the blabbering trees. Yes, you told them once before. It's no secret anymore. why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow, whispering grass, don't tell the trees, 'cause the trees don't need to know.
Now don't you tell it to the breeze, 'cause she'll run and tell it to the birds and bees, and everyone'll know, because you done told the blabbering trees. Yes, you did. You told them once before. So that's why it ain't no secret anymore.
Why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow, whispering grass, don't tell the trees, 'cause the trees don't need.